Okay, I will only need two things, a roll of duct tape and a knife.
I'm on it.
Okay, 30 minutes or less, please come back. Save the receipts. Hey, what?
Let's see if any of these will work.
Hey, Dwight.
I keep various weaponry strategically placed around the office.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss and Nick here with you once again. Before we get into everything and preview the Giants versus the Eagles in the playoffs, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Boys, let's get into it. It is Giants playoffs, man. It just feels different. It really does, especially after last week. You know that I am flying high, just uber confident in the Giants this game. I think that they're getting tons and tons of disrespect. They're getting disrespected by odds makers. They're getting disrespected by the talking heads. They're getting disrespected by the analytics nerds on Twitter. Let's talk about it. I'm so excited. Weiss, you will be attending the game. Is that correct?
If I test negative for COVID, I'm still quarantining in my basement.
Okay.
But if I test negative before Saturday, I'm going to Philadelphia. Yes.
I would argue you should still go if you test positive and infect that miserable city with your illness. But
yeah,
that's neither here nor there.
They might give me another illness. That's how much that city is so dirty.
Listen, they're already not happy with me over my Snow Angel tweet. So, whatever.
Oh, fuck them.
Fuck them.
Hey, listen, I have been quarantining in my basement since I got back from Minnesota, and I've had a lot of time on my hands. I've watched literally every single Giants video on Twitter, on YouTube, on Facebook. And you're right, man. Like, there is a lot of disrespect for the Giants, but most importantly, like, the Philadelphia media, I think, is the one, like, media that is a microcosm of that city and of that team, right? Like, the Philadelphia media represents Philadelphia exactly how you would imagine. And there's a lot of, like, nervousness coming out of them, a lot of weird, like, we're happy we're playing the Giants. So it's like, I don't know if you should be happy about that.
You're right. The vibes are weird. It's like a false confidence type of thing, like you had mentioned. And I really don't feel like it's warranted. I know we talk all the time, like, in season, divisional games get wonky as is. Now we're talking playoffs after your team just had a bye, after your team's quarterback missed a few weeks, after your team played its starters the entire game to lock in home field advantage and barely beat the Giants' third stringers. Like, you're confident? I don't see how you could be confident.
They kind of backed into a playoff spot. I mean, they lost two of their last three games. The last game of the regular season against the Giants, they didn't look particularly good. I know we all have that conspiracy theory that they told Jalen Hurts, don't run, whatever the situation, do not take any unnecessary hits, just get rid of the ball. That limits their offense to some degree. There is a nervous energy. I've talked to a few of my Eagle fan friends who are like, yeah, I would rather play the Giants than San Francisco or the Cowboys. And like, yeah, I understand
that makes sense.
But at the same time, I mean, San Francisco and beating Seattle is the first time that's happened in quite a while, three times in one season. I won't say I'm as confident as you guys are. I'm a lot more confident than I thought I would be coming into a Giants Eagles playoff game based on how last week went.
Yeah. And I'm not like, I know my confidence has been, I don't even know what word to use to describe
it. Well documented.
Well, of course it's been well documented, but maybe overconfident, cocky. I want to acknowledge, and I full on recognize that, like, the Giants are underdogs. Eagles are very good. Like, we've had this discussion. Like, Jalen Hurts is an MVP candidate. Coach Sirianni is a coach of the year candidate. It's a very talented team. But again, I said it last week, or I might have said it this week earlier in the week in the first episode that we did. in the playoffs, coaching is the great equalizer. And the Giants have, I would argue, I mean, the 49ers probably have the best coaching staff, but the Giants are right there with them. Like, they really are. I would take them over probably every other coaching staff right now, seeing what they've done with the talent on this roster. And guys, people keep going, oh, you know, like the Giants played the Eagles tight in the last game. Like, the Eagles weren't running a preseason game plan, and like they were being conservative with Jalen Hurts. Like, all right, like that's great. And if you want to point to the first game they played, the Giants didn't have a healthy Adoree Jackson. The Giants didn't have a healthy Xavier McKinney. Like, this is a different team. Like, that was a team in the middle of a funk. This is a team off back-to-back wins where they were putting up monstrous performances on offense, going up against an Eagles team that's susceptible against the run. They're susceptible to quarterback runs. And like, it just feels like the Giants are getting hot in the right areas at the right time for an opponent whose weaknesses are well documented. Like, we know what their strengths are. Like, we know that Jalen Hurts can run the ball. We know that if you get Jalen Hurts outside the pocket, like, he can make throws. We know that Devontae Smith is good. We know that AJ Brown is good. We know that Dallas Goedert is one of the most underrated pass catching tight ends in the entire league, I would argue. We know all this stuff. Like, none of this is a surprise. What is a surprise is the Giants offense getting hot at the right time. Like, people forget earlier in the season, this offense was not cooking. Like, they were putting up low point totals. Daniel Jones was putting up low yardage totals. I understand he did it against the Colts team that was on their last legs, and the Minnesota Vikings defense isn't that great, but those are performances that instill confidence in you. And I'm not exactly sure that the Eagles defense is world beaters at this point. Like, there is a very clear path to victory for the Giants. And I just, man, they could do it. They really could.
To your point about the coaching and how impactful the Giants coaching has been, the thing that really turned it around, and especially was when they said, all right, when they were in that funk, when they were losing games because the offense wasn't breaking 20 points, at some point they sat down and said, all right, we got to let Jones loose. And if we lose, so be it. And
right.
It's really important that they did that. And the thing that's great is they're adaptable. They know what they need to do to win. They could have been very stubborn in that Minnesota game and said, we know Kirk is bad against the blitz. We'll keep sending heat at him. We'll send five. But the Giants blitzed the least of any game this entire season against Minnesota and said, we have the horses to play enough coverage to not get killed over the top. In this type of game, and the first, like you said before, the first time they played the Eagles, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith absolutely cooked in that game because they were getting covered by Darnay Holmes. Yeah. They are going to have better matchups in this game, and they're going to have McKinney over the middle, which should help against Goddard. There is a real chance here for the Giants.
100%. And we just want to bring up one thing that you mentioned, the versatility of the team. You are correct. We're at the point right now, and it's, again, it's right timing, where the Giants can beat you throwing the ball. Richie James and Isaiah Hodgins and Darius Slayton are comfortable in this offense. This offensive coordinator trusts Daniel Jones to throw the ball. At the same time, Daniel Jones has set a personal record for rushing yards and rushing touchdowns in a season. How many designed runs did he have against the Vikings?
7 or 8 in the second one.
I mean, just a crazy amount of designed runs. I think total runs was even higher.
Yeah.
They can beat you throwing the ball. They can beat you running the ball with both Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. On defense, they can beat you now that they're healthy, sitting back. They can beat you bringing the house. This is a team that has now, late in the season, figured out they can win multiple ways. The Eagles should be scared. They should be nervous.
Yeah, I think the Eagles definitely need to be on upset alert. But look, let's not fool ourselves about the Eagles can also beat you many different ways. Their defense is still very good, especially their defensive line. I mean, 70 sacks leading the NFL. That right there is how they can just dismantle the Giants, is getting taken advantage of Evan Neal in the interior of the line. And listen, Jalen Hurts, I don't believe he's 100%. I do think there's going to be some rust. It's just a matter if he can shake off the rust. But this is the winner of this game is going to the Super Bowl. I truly believe that.
Yeah, because you've been writing off the 49ers for like the last 5 weeks, and I don't know why.
Not writing off. I just think the Eagles are the most talented team in the NFC. and they might be top to bottom the most talented team remaining in the playoffs.
What's the Eagles' number one weakness?
The Eagles
can't stop the run.
The 49ers would fucking obliterate them.
But here's the thing about the Eagles are so talented offensively, and they can run the ball
offensively. 49ers are very talented defensively. I would argue they're the best defense in the NFL.
I agree with you, but I think that Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks had some really successful drives up and down the field on the 49ers. So I think that whole number one defense thing is overrated a little bit in the playoffs. And I think the Eagles, the winner of this game, in my opinion, is going to go to the Super Bowl. And I think this is the toughest matchup remaining for the Giants because, look, man, the Eagles can do so many things so well. They can beat you running the ball 30, 35 times. They can beat you in a defensive slugfest where they're just forcing three and outs and they're forcing turnovers. Or, hey, if their defense doesn't show up and they're giving up 20-plus points in a game, their offense can score, can go up and down the field with you. So Giant fans should feel confident, and we are confident that we can win this game. But at the same time, there is that There is that cause for concern, per se, because it's like this team just has talent across the board. And you talk about coaching staff, and I agree with you. When you look at the Giants coaching staff, not just their coordinators and Brian Daboll, but Jerome Henderson, Andre Patterson, some of these assistant coaches, you know, and Shea Tierney deserves some credit too, the quarterback coach. The Eagles have really good coaching staff too. Their coordinators are up for head coaching jobs as well. And Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon, who's done a good job with that defense. And Sirianni is a good coach too. So this is a really, really, really tough matchup for the Giants. I think they can win this game. There's a clear path to victory. But, man, the Eagles can also blow the doors off this thing too. And I think that that's where I'm going to alarm, because you look at the matchups down the board, you know, you go quarterback, running back, receivers, offensive line, defensive line, you know, their secondary. I mean, outside of running back, where can we say that the Giants have the advantage? You know, like, even if you go Jones and Hurts, I mean, they at the worst, best case for the Giants, they cancel each other out, right? Like, if the best case scenario, Jalen Hurts and Daniel Jones cancel each other out. But everywhere else, I mean, offensive line, Eagles, receivers, Eagles, a defensive line, Eagles, you know, the secondary, Eagles, linebackers, Eagles. So this is a tough, tough matchup for the Giants. If they pull this out, I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
There's a point to be made in what you just said, because on paper, yeah, the Eagles are clearly, clearly a better team, more talented, more depth. The Eagles can run 7-8 different guys in there on the defensive line. They have a really deep rotation. The thing for the Giants is going to be, where can they make up the difference on the margins? Can they get an extra good possession somewhere because they get forced a turnover? Can they make an extra possession out of a fourth and short where they decide to go for it? That is where the Giants are going to have to.
Can I tell you where they can make up a difference?
Where?
There, Daniel Jones, there has to be another level to him.
Yes.
Not just as a runner, but as a thrower. Like, and this, I'm not knocking him for this, but what I'm saying is, if you want to win this game, how do you make up that talent deficiency? Well, Daniel, there has to be another level to Daniel Jones. Remember with Eli Manning, one of the things we saw during that first playoff run is he got better as the Giants advanced, right? His best game was probably the NFC Championship game where he was in against Green Bay. He played all right against Tampa. He played all right against Dallas. But that his signature game, you know, he got better as that playoff run went along. So for Daniel Jones, he has to get better, you know, as the stakes get higher and as the opponents get tougher. I wanted to talk to you guys about, and I texted you guys about this, and I was thinking about this as I'm quarantining myself in the basement is, you know.
You must be real bored.
I'm really bored. I'm 31 years old, and the first Giants season I remember that I vividly sat down and watched games was that Super Bowl run in 2000. So from 2000 on, and I wrote this down, obviously, they had the 12-4 season in 2000 when they lost in the Super Bowl. Then in 2002, they went 10-6, lost to the 49ers in the wild card game. Everyone remembers that game. Then they had a little bit of a dry spurt. Then they came back in 2005, Eli's second year, won the division 11-5 and made the playoffs in 06, Super Bowl in 07. 08 was a 12-4 season where they lost in the divisional round. Then they had another couple down seasons, made the playoffs again in 11. And then it was a lot of dark days, and then 2016. So my question to you guys is, given where we are now, let's say the Giants season ends on Saturday night, where would you rank this Giants season amongst your favorite? To me, 2007 was the best season as a fan.
Well, of course. For me, it's 07 and then 11. But after that, like what criteria are we using here? Just like personal?
Yeah, like, just your personal experience, where you were, how you enjoyed the season, what's your thought process? Do you remember 2005?
I do.
I remember losing to Carolina, yeah.
I remember that year, it was like, oh my God, Eli Manning is really good. At the time, I was thinking, oh my God, this guy might be better than Peyton Manning. Like, you know, like 11 wins. Like, it was like,
I mean, 08 awesome. Was so fun for so long.
Right.
And it's all Plaxico's fault. That would have been the answer. 08, because yeah. They would have went 17-0 and won. They would have went.
They would have went back. They would have went back to back. And I still remember 100%. Exactly where I was. Where I was when I got the news. I was at my friend's little brother's bar mitzvah, sitting in like cocktail hour, and I just get the fucking notification on my phone. Plaxico Burress in hospital with gunshot wound, and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, like that really should be number three.
Well, time out. In 2008, you were getting notifications on your phone.
Yeah.
Damn, you must have been a wealthy little baby.
No.
A little kid.
Hold on. What year was 2008? I would have been in freshman year of high school, bro. People had iPhones and shit.
No, I didn't have an iPhone. I had a Razor.
No, not in 2008. You didn't have a Razor.
Yeah. I didn't get my first iPhone until like, after I graduated high school.
No way.
I'm serious. Hold on.
This is what Google's for. I'm Googling right now.
I'm serious.
Bro, at worst, people... That might have been like the BBM era, where everyone's like...
That could have been a BlackBerry.
Yeah, like that could have been a BlackBerry. I don't think...
When you had the NFL text alerts?
Maybe,
you
know, yeah.
That's they would like text you and there'll be a link to their article too.
I'm trying to remember like my...
It would have been the iPhone 1 or the iPhone 3G. Those were the 3G came out in July of 2008. So no, it would have had to have been the original iPhone.
iPhone. Okay.
I never had the original iPhone. My first iPhone was that 3G iPhone I got when I graduated high school. It was a
gift. I don't even think I had a 3G. I had like some.
And then the 4.
Bullshit Android. Yeah. And I had like a BlackBerry. Yeah.
It was probably BBM. It was probably a BlackBerry notification.
I might have been with BlackBerry.
There used to be these text alerts that you could sign up for with like NFL and ESPN.
Bro, in high school, I used to have Twitter texts where like if you didn't have a smartphone, you could get texts from like Twitter accounts that you were like following.
Right.
And I would get those texts and like you could tweet via text message.
Yeah, I remember that. I vividly remember doing that on more than one occasion.
2000 for me, this would be, well, let me ask you this. Let's say they beat
the Eagles. It still can't be better than either of the Super Bowls.
They would have to win the Super Bowl for it to be.
Oh, if they win the Super Bowl, this has a real argument with 2008.
For you, really?
Really? Because this came out of nowhere.
Let's say they do this. Let's say they beat Philly, right? First time they beat Philly since 2013 in Philadelphia. And then they beat San Francisco or Dallas, right? But let's say they beat Dallas. So now you beat your two biggest division rivals who've owned the Giants the last like 5-6 years. And then they go to the Super Bowl and win. I mean, shit, it's got to be up there with 07 then, right? I mean, like just a path to victory.
And the other part of it is, in 2007, I'd only been watching football for a couple seasons. I didn't really have an appreciation for how fucking hard it is to be a good football team as a kid in middle school. Yeah, we have seen some bad shit the last couple of years. That level of appreciation I have for having a good football team now, this would be a real argument to be a more enjoyable season than 2017.
So right now, if they lose Saturday, where does the season rank?
Probably three or four.
Three. So right behind
the 07, 11.
05 was pretty. 05 was fun for me because I really loved Eli Manning and I really.
But they're not. They're but they're going to win. So then that automatically catapults it to 3.
Oh, it would be so good to beat the Eagles, man. I'm so tired of losing.
Fuck Boston Scott. That midget's not scoring a touchdown this weekend.
Look, I have
Hassan Reddick too. Fuck Hassan Reddick too.
I have two friends, very good friends of mine that are Eagle fans. And every morning they've been just texting me, bitch, 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 bitch. Like every single morning, like bitch, bitch, bitch. And I was I'm not saying anything. I'm not getting into it with anybody. I just want this game to
let the play do the talking.
Because listen, man, like you, as a Giant fan, you have to be like, we can't talk shit to them. They fucking own us. Like, what am I going to say to an Eagle fan that can, great comeback? Like, what can you say?
Nothing.
Like, take a shower.
Yeah. Outside of that. What else?
And they got the Super Bowl now, so you can't even say win a Super Bowl. So,
and it's been more recent than our last fucking Super Bowl, so it's not like you really can't say anything. And it's even worse because they beat the same motherfucker that we beat. You know, it's like it's tough, but I want to win so bad. This is my Super Bowl. I can't believe I'm sorry. I can't believe I'm
you
saying
can't
that.
Say that. You can't
no, it,
say
it
that.
Is. It is. I'm just so sick and tired of being their bitch. Like I just want to beat them so bad. Like it's just been so long. In 2013, you can't even count because like who was starting? Like that son of a bitch, Matt Barkley was starting for them.
Yeah.
And we didn't score a touchdown in that game. And no. Chip Kelly was like, it was almost like he was hired.
Chip Kelly, bro.
He was hired to destroy the Eagles. Like I feel like that victory goes to Chip Kelly, not us, because he was hired to just destroy the Eagles. He got Howie Roseman fired. Yeah. You know, like, come on. And I want to win this game so bad. So bad. That's why I'm going. I'm going down with the ship. Either.
Wow. Here we go. This is live. The Ravens and Greg Roman are parting ways.
Yeah. I kind of expected that. They're going to try and keep Lamar.
That's Lamar appeasement.
Lamar Jackson's not going anywhere.
No, nah, he's a bitch. I don't think
so either. Lamar Jackson's not going anywhere. Not going anywhere.
He's a bitch though.
Really?
Nah. Oh yeah. Gotta get your bag secured, bro. Gotta get your bag secured.
Team's going to the playoffs. You're gonna fake a PCL injury? Come on.
Oh, come on. Yeah, PCL injury ruined RG3's career in Washington.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Was it a tear?
Yeah.
Okay. Lamar's was not a tear.
Oh, we had a really bad sprain and they're still swelling.
Whatever.
Yeah. Look,
you got to take care of your butt. We're talking about generational wealth here. One bad knee injury and you're re-racking and hoping you get back here. We're talking about like, you know, your grandkids type of money here.
Whatever. Fuck him. Ruined my dynasty season.
Do you guys want to hear?
I can relate to it.
So we talked about 2008 for a little bit, but. So the Eagles in 2008, you know what their record was? 9-6-1. They were a wild card team.
Mm.
Do you know who they beat in the wild card round?
Minnesota? Anybody?
Minnesota, yes.
Wow. Yeah.
And then they went to help me out. Where did they go? They went to the Giants. Oh, that's right.
Yes.
They went to the Meadowlands. And do you know what the Giants record was? 12-4.
Wait, wow.
Yeah.
Did someone tweet this? I saw a thread about this morning while I was drinking coffee.
I haven't seen this. This is fascinating.
Yeah, I saw this online. So they beat the Vikings.
A lot of similarities here.
They're 9-6-1. They beat the Vikings. They go to New York, and the Giants were dealing with a lot of shit, a lot of injuries, mostly a player shooting himself, but we'll call it an injury. And the Eagles won. And they went on to the NFC Championship game. They were also the
Giants are winning, baby.
They're also the number 6 seed.
All right, I have a question for you guys. The way the playoff format is set up now, Doesn't it feel like the one team that has a bye are both at a disadvantage because they're coming into this game cold? And last year, both one seeds lost the first year of this new format. We know the Eagles are rusty. They didn't look good the last game Jalen Hurts played. I do feel like it matters that the Eagles haven't played a good football game with Jalen Hurts since early December, and the Giants are coming off their best performance of the entire season. I do think there's something to be said for that type of energy coming into this game, that the Giants are piping hot, and the last time Jalen Hurts played well in a game was a month ago. The last time Jalen Hurts started and played well in a game was December 18th. It has been quite a while.
He's thrown 35 passes since.
Yeah.
And when he takes the field on Saturday, he'll have thrown 35 passes in 1 month.
Yeah.
There's going to be rust, and maybe that's where the Giants.
Are you guys there yet? Are you there yet? Like,
I'm not there.
Come on.
I'm not there. The Eagles are too good, man. They're really, really good. There's some weird vibes coming out of Philadelphia, and
that's why I feel good about it. There's legitimately like that weird shit about Sirianni being like, "Yeah, we ordered Pizza Hut, bro." Yeah. What the fuck? At practice, someone turned off Dreams and Nightmares and put Eminem on.
Yeah,
what the hell is awful, going on in awful Philadelphia?
Vibes. Awful vibes.
AJ Brown has a toe injury. Lane Johnson, who I think is their most important player offensively, is dealing with a groin tear or something like that. It's going to have surgery. I don't know, man. He's playing.
Oh, yeah.
They have injuries, though. Like, they needed the bye week.
They definitely did.
But I'm telling you, man, there's something weird coming out of Philadelphia, and it gives me confidence, but I'm just not there yet with you, Ethan, where I can call the Giants. I can think the Giants are going to win this game. I think it's going to be close.
See, you think I'm crazy for being as confident as I am. I think you are crazier for writing off the 49ers like you are. And don't say you're not, because you are.
No, I'm not writing off the
49ers.
You are. No.
You are.
I just said that they're not as good as the Eagles. That's all I said.
You said whoever wins this game is beating the 49ers.
Yes.
If the Giants were if the Giants had to go to San Francisco, they would be
9-point under.
I was going to say 10.5 at least. They're 7.5 against the Eagles. 49ers are a better team.
So let me ask you a question. If the Giants win this game and they go to Philly and San Francisco beats Dallas, you're telling me you think that San Francisco is going to be a 9.5-point favorite over the Giants?
At least.
Yes. Okay. San Francisco's won 11 in a row, and they're a public darling. Everybody loves betting on the 49ers. They have the track record in the playoffs. The 49ers are one of the best designed teams for the playoffs because they can run any play out of any personnel on offense, and they get heat with four. That they are the easiest public bet there is.
Everybody loves them. Would run for 500 yards on this Giants defense. They would have Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel matched up against Jalen Smith. This would be the massacre as of all massacres. As confident as I am that the Giants are going to beat the Eagles, if they had to go to San Francisco, I would feel the exact opposite.
So basically what you're saying is if the Eagles win this game, they're going to get smoked by the 49ers.
Smoked.
I think the 49ers are rolling. Absolutely rolling.
I think you guys need to stop sleeping on the Dallas Cowboys, number one. I think the Cowboys...
The Bucs stink.
This goes back to like... if you want to talk like gambling perceptions here, like the Cowboys being three-point favorites?
I think so.
It was a small number, like two or three against the Buccaneers was the ultimate disrespect because the Buccaneers barely made it into the playoffs. The Cowboys were so down the stretch. People forgot how dominant that defense can be going up against old man Brady. Come on. And now I think it has swung too far the other way because they did it on a Monday night game and the public perception of them is sky high. I think the 49ers wash them.
I think the 49ers win that game, but I think it's going to be close.
I'm very high on the 49ers, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah, me too.
I like the 49ers. I just don't trust that quarterback.
What's not to trust?
Seattle had the lead at halftime.
And then Brock Purdy threw for 350 yards, two touchdowns, ran right. for another.
You're right, but
he has done everything in his world to prove that he is not a liability.
I didn't say it was a liability. I just don't think as the going gets tough.
It doesn't matter. In that offense, you don't need the quarterback to win you games. I think that's
just hit the layups.
That's pretty apparent with the fact that they were rolling with fucking Jimmy G for as long as they were.
All I'm saying is that
he's not going to win you games. He's just not going to lose you games.
Giant fans, if the Giants went on Saturday, you're going to the Super Bowl.
That's a wild take, but
wild.
All right, I do have a question for you guys before we wrap up here.
Sure.
What are your biggest keys to this game? If the Giants are going to win, what do they need to do?
Three things. One, Daniel Jones, there has to be another level to Daniel Jones. Okay. Two, Dexter Lawrence versus Jason Kelce. Dexter Lawrence has to win that matchup, right? And he has to be that dominant player that he was in Minnesota. And it's been all season. And number three, and this is very, very important, their special teams cannot make any stupid mistakes. Those three things happen, and the Giants have a good shot winning this game.
Number one, stop the run. Eagles, their offensive line, very good. Miles Sanders, Jalen Hurts, Boston Scott, stop the run. Force Jalen Hurts to make throws on second and long, third and long. Especially now that you have Xavier McKinney back, especially now that you have Adoree Jackson back, it makes life difficult. You need to stop the run. Number two, I'll agree with Weiss. Daniel Jones needs to not just be flawless, but he needs to be the reason that the Giants offense is cooking. So number two, Daniel Jones. Number three.
Saquon Barkley.
No, it's not going to be Barkley. Although he is important, obviously. But in terms of like keys and importance, I really think they need to get pressure with four. They need to do it with only four, because if you do that and you can keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket and you can use a linebacker to sort of spy on him and you can make him uncomfortable, you said it. He's only thrown 35 passes in the last month. There's absolutely some rust there. I'm not convinced he's fully healthy. Make him uncomfortable and keep him in the pocket. So those are my three keys.
I've got three quick ones. Number one, Evan Neal can't lose you this game. I know the first time the Giants played the Eagles, I think they sacked Daniel Jones seven or eight times, something ridiculous like that. The offensive line cannot lose the Giants this game. The offensive line just needs to be competent. It doesn't need to be outstanding, but they got to give Jones a chance. If he's getting sacked six, seven times in this game, Giants don't have a chance. Number two, they're going to need more of that angry Saquon running. They are going to need him putting his head down between the tackles and picking up those ugly 4 and 5 yard bursts, because this game, there will not be as much space on the perimeter as there was against Minnesota. Minnesota is very happy to drop, try and keep everything in front of them. The Eagles are a lot more aggressive defensively. They have a deep pass rush rotation of seven or eight guys they like to use. They will be on the field in different situations. And the last one, echoing your sentiments, if the Giants are going to win this game, Daniel Jones is going to have the game of his life. He had the game of his last week against Minnesota. The Eagles are a lot better than Minnesota. Their defense is a lot more talented. It's a lot better coached. He is going to need to have one of the best quarterback games of the entire football season this year if the Giants are going to win this game.
One other thing, and I refuse to talk about this, but I'm going to let you guys talk about it. There is a lot of talk amongst Giant fans about giving credit to a certain someone for doing certain some things.
No.
I see. Ethan, do you want to give any credit?
Do I want to give any credit?
No,
I absolutely do not. I'm not even going to say his name. He was the worst executive maybe in Giants history. Nobody did less with more than he did. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Nick. Giving credit for this,
you
would be like,
bleep that. Bleep it out. Bleep it.
Giving he who
timestamp that post-production. Bleep it.
Don't worry, I got the clock running. Giving he who should not be named credit for the Giants this season would be like giving the limousine driver in Dallas, Texas credit for getting JFK to the hospital. Great, you got him there. He's already dead. Great job. Come on now. What are we doing here? That's just people trying to be nice. It's very great. Everybody wants to be gracious to the old man who's, you know, on death's door in Martha's Vineyard. It's very great that he got his victory lap, that he got to get his column in the New York Post. Terrific. I don't care. He is not a part of this organization anymore. He is a stain on the history of this organization. They are this good because the new regime came in and said, we need a real coach and we need a real culture.
He's Garth Snow.
Yeah, exactly. Great. You hit the first round picks. That's the easy part. You hit on the first round picks. That's terrific. That's great.
Well, not all of them.
That's the bare minimum. And correct. Correct. You hit on a couple of them. That's terrific. That's the bare minimum.
Only the ones in the top five.
At the bare minimum, like any schmuck, you know, with PFF can figure out who to draft in the top five. And even then you have an argument like maybe they could have went here or there. Let's not give credit where it's not due. Give credit to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. That's who deserves credit for this team.
Okay. Real quick, Jacksonville at Kansas City. Any chance Jacksonville pulls the upset?
I think they can keep it close, but I think Kansas City's got too much. I think it's a one-score game, but I think Kansas City wins.
Depends entirely on which Steve Spagnuolo coach defense shows up.
That's a good point.
Like, are they going to be the defense that doesn't get a single stop the entire game and forces the offense to score 50? Or is Chris Jones going to get pressure and they're going to get some sacks and whatever? That's really all that matters, in my opinion, because the Chiefs are going to score. It's just a matter of whether or not the defense is going to show up.
Cincinnati, Buffalo.
Cincinnati.
I think Cincinnati, too.
I think the Bengals are acting like real bitches. And they've been acting like bitches for the past couple of weeks now.
I agree with you. And but they
should
think that
they should have fucking lost last week to Baltimore if that fucking play doesn't happen at the goal line. I think Buffalo's going to blow the shit out of them.
If DeMar Hamlin didn't happen,
okay,
Bengals win that game by 2 touchdowns.
First of all, no, they don't.
Yes, they do. And the Bills have not looked good the last month.
Did the Bengals look good last week?
They've looked good through up until that point. And they still took care of business.
Their offensive line is atrocious. And they're acting like
we're talking about divisional games in the playoffs. They're acting
like complete and utter
this bitches. Episode, Giants Eagles, divisional game, playoffs. We're talking about a close game. Shit happens. John Harbaugh is a tremendous coach. I'm not gonna hold that against the Bengals.
Okay.
They're gonna beat the Bills.
There was a 14-point swing with 12 minutes to play. If you think that play happens 10 out of 10 times, it's a touchdown. So look. The Bengals, I think they're overrated. They have a great offense, and Joe Burrow's great. But I think Buffalo's going to
blow the door. I think Buffalo's overrated.
I think Buffalo's going to blow the door off this thing. Josh Allen is just going to murder. And the Bengals' offensive line is a complete train wreck again. So I'm going Buffalo. I think it's going to be a big game. And I think DeMar Hamlin's going to be at that game too. Anyways, Dallas, San Francisco. I think this will be a great game. I really do.
49ers big. We saw this last year. We saw Deebo Samuel run away from that defense multiple times.
I think Dallas is a more mentally tough team this go round than they were last time. I think that win, that beatdown of Tampa Bay instilled a lot of confidence in the Dallas Cowboys, but San Francisco is just, they do.
Again, about this time and time again. Last episode, this episode, what is the great equalizer in the playoffs? It's coaching.
Yeah,
49ers coaching staff is eons better than Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn. Yes, they are.
Dan Quinn's a good defensive coach.
He is. It doesn't matter. That San Francisco 49ers team is easily the best coach team in the league. Talent-wise, they are more talented than the Cowboys. They are going to win this game.
They will, but it's going to be close. And don't be so hard on Mike McCarthy. He's gotten better.
He went to PFF.com and tricked Jerry Jones into hiring him.
I know, but he's been, 13 wins last year?
You've been listening to RJ. You have been, yeah, because he's a McCarthy sympathizer.
Yeah.
The way you know Kyle's, the 49er staff is better, is that all of his assistants keep getting poached. He's had how many of his assistants get poached on both sides?
He's going to be the next Belichick.
So has McCarthy. Come on, go down the list. Listen. Let's go back. You want to go back to Green Bay?
Go for it.
Okay, Joe Philbin, Ben McAdoo, Nathaniel Hackett was with him too, I think. Or maybe not.
Yes.
He was, right?
No. He was in Jacksonville at the end of McCarthy in Green Bay.
We're seeing Dan Quinn right now getting head coaching jobs. Kellen Moore.
Dan Quinn was getting head coaching interviews before he was with McCarthy.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a head coach before McCarthy.
there. I'm missing names.
Yeah, exactly.
Reconvene, do a little homework and come back and we can have this discussion on Monday after the Giants win.
Okay, but I'm telling you.
Shanahan's going to be the new Belichick.
I mean, who do you consider Sean McVay to be under the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree?
They were colleagues. No.
Yeah, they were colleagues.
Okay, so who's under the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree?
McDaniel, Sala, okay. Both LaFleurs.
Okay, Robert Sala might get fired, but okay, keep going.
No, he's not.
Not this year, but next year. But okay, keep going. Whatever. Okay, so Robert Sala.
Your examples for McCarthy are not even coaching right now.
But Philbin? I'm saying they got head coaching.
McAdoo's like an assistant.
He's the assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah. Here's what I'm doing is I'm trying to tell you that McCarthy is not as bad as people keep saying he is. That's all.
Okay,
I'm
RJ.
You know okay, what I RJ. Remember? Very vividly, Ethan, the first game of McCarthy in Dallas, the Cowboys were 3-point favorites. The Rams were there. There was nobody in the stadium going into the Degenerates group chat. And the first possession of the game, it was 7-0 Rams and going, I can't believe I ate the fucking McCarthy cheese again. Vividly remember it. The man does not know how to work the clock. That is the biggest problem.
Constantly. He's got too many timeouts. He's got no timeouts.
Oh, son of a bitch. I'm still positive, man. What the fuck?
Did you just take a test right now as we're recording?
No, I took a test right before we recorded.
Oh, okay.
I went to the urgent care about my house, and I'm still positive, and this fucking sucks.
Whatever. All right, let's wrap it up then.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. Go. Whoa. I got official prediction. Giants, Eagles, Ethan,
24-21 Giants.
Nick.
28-27 Giants.
I'm going to go 24-20 Eagles. Just think.
Heathen.
I can't pick against the Giants at this point. I'd feel bad if I did.
I can't do it. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick and Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Go Giants, and we'll talk to you next week, regardless of a win or a loss.
Peace.